did you get into farming?
I was just there. Probably in the generations, I can always move.
And what kind of farm is it?
Mostly mixed farming and sucklers, mostly sucklers.
What's the land itself like?
The land would be very, very, during summer it would be, if you get got warmer now, it would dry up very quickly, but very dry land during the winter.
Yeah.
So with limestone, it doesn't flood, it's very, very, very well drainage. Good drainage.
And is it mountainy or?
Fairness, but yeah.
And so you're in Roscommon, and Roscommon was in the news a lot for the flooding.
That's correct.
So were you affected by that yourself?
Not us particularly, but in areas not too far away, there was flooding, which was unusual because it's not really a county known for flooding in Roscommon.
Yeah. So what would have caused it, you think?
I just would have said poor planning, poor drainage on certain rivers and lakes. Also not enough knowledge on the turlocks. Turlocks are a big issue.
And would there be a lot of turlocks up around?
There would, yes, yeah. And also local knowledge. Not listening to local people about the turlocks. Turlocks that did most of the damage in the flood in Roscommon. Yeah, Swallows Hole blocked, and also the drainage, like the with the run of the water from in out the turlocks was not cleaned. And the gates, such a thing is called as these sluice gates, and they were not upgraded and let run down and not properly opening. So that was a big issue, actually, a lot of them were upgraded, and that has been a huge help.
Oh, right, okay, so that was all done locally.
It was, yeah.
As a result of that.
Because the council went to local landowners, spoke to them, and local landowners were able to inform them what was wrong on the ground, because they needed that local knowledge. But otherwise, it's just the turlocks are always there, and sometimes they forgot about how important they are to the whole thing. Like.
And so it's very important in getting the local knowledge.
Oh yeah, well, like definitely, as Roscommon County found out, that local knowledge was key to solving the problem with turlocks.
So would that have impacted you now when you saw the damage it did to other farms and stuff? Would you have put any measures in place that might prevent it from happening?
Well, luckily in our area now, it's not an issue. But I know people that did put plans in place, like, you know, they actually, even people that would have sort of like long avenues into their farms, they raised the avenues.
Oh, right,
and there was actually a fund from Roscommon Council in fairness to raise the roadways.
So that was a local funding.
Exactly.
It?
So that was a big help. So if a flood did happen again, at least you had access to your house and home, which was a big, like, a lot of people could not get access to their homes and had to be walking and bringing. Groceries and dinner, like, you know, you're parking at the parked cars at the head of the road, like that could be about 2 miles at the head of the road, because some people live quite a distance in off the road. So no, that was a good grant, in fairness, to raise the roads, and also that, and if the flood came again, that the roads were high enough.
Yeah. So, and are there any other grants locally now or nationally that might help farmers on the whole agri-environment side?
There is grants, but the issue with some of the grants is sometimes there's more red tape than when you look into it, like, you know, and it kind of shies away people from actually looking for the grants. And the money is there because the Europe has the money, sent over the money, like, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of this money isn't used. I know a certain amount has to be there, like, at the end of the day, forms are filled out, but it could be simplified and made more friendly to people.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, you know, the money is put aside to be used, not spent, like, you know.
Yeah. So how would you find out about the information then?
Your good local councillors and TZs, and which there is good men out there, in fairness, like, you know, that's the way to go, like, you know. Michael Fitzmaurice now, and even during the flooding, he helped out a lot of people, supply his own machinery, and that man talks a lot of straight talk in that sense. So he has a great knowledge. Dennis Nocton would also be another good man and has great knowledge of the area, like. And even down to your local councillors, you know, some of them are very good and very dedicated, and I know they get a lot of there. And well, you have Togacha, of course, like, you know, and they are very helpful now. And then you have your own local agri advisors as well, like, you know. And like, you kind of would go to them first, then you would expect them, if you were to go higher, they would get the information and bring it back to you, because sometimes if you go too high up the ladder, the information can get very complicated and confusing, and it's good to have it simplified sometimes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's all the same English, which is sometimes it's a way of state sometimes
it's hard to
exactly it out. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Certain, you know, it's just phrases the way the words are used, like.
And is it so would they help in filling out the forms?
Oh yes, yeah, no, they're very good like that. Now the local agri advisors are very good, very very helpful like that, and they're actually essential, like, you know, in keeping the farmers up to date on things and keeping and all the paperwork.
Yeah, so there's a number of different agri.
You have reps, and you have the hedge cutting, and you have the collection of the plastic, and that's also for the birds as well. And the hedge, and but the plastic now has been a very good scheme, in fairness, like, you know, and it really has cleaned up the countryside.
And was it hard to get into that?
No, no, in fairness, now that was one of the better schemes. That was when you like bought your plastic, there was a tax there on the plastic, so you had already paid for the collection of the plastic, which was great, like, so that means that was all sorted out, like, you know. And and in fairness, now when it comes to collection, they're all very local. You don't have to travel too far, which is good, because if it was too far, people just wouldn't load the plastic up. So that scheme actually was, I'll have to say, it was definitely a very excellent scheme, yeah.
And why was it a success?
No paperwork. Like I said, you didn't have to pay for it when you came to, it was already, when you bought the plastic, so you'd already paid for it, like, you know. And also the accessibility of the pick-up points in local areas, which that's really why the pick-up points in the local areas was key.
Yeah.
Because you could pick it up in any area with no distance, no more than 5 miles from any farm.
So it was easy.
Yes, exactly. Easy, yeah, easy, yeah. Definitely should be more schemes in place in terms of more sort of away from intensive farming and kind of more towards, a couple of years ago there was a big push for, you know, sheds and more livestock and more tanks and everything. And now to see now that that has caused a lot of flooding because land has been compacted by machinery, and also the spreading of the slurry, there's issues there as well, like, in fairness, like, you know. So, like, you know, I would say it kind of moved away from that a little bit and maybe more looked into doing a traditional way, like it was done years ago. Like, I know in some cases they can't, but it's just if they could, you know, you could winter some of the livestock outside and not have everything housed.
Yeah.
You know, because with everything being housed, it there is such a build-up of slurry, you know.
Mm. So how do you manage that yourself? Do you find it hard to manage it?
Well, no, it's like everything. When you come to a certain time of year, you cut back. You only keep what is going to be for breeding stock, like, you know, and you sell the younger cattle. And you keep them in small numbers, and you keep the areas clean, like, you know. And if cattle are in good shape and they're well fed, they're far healthier outside because over infections and everything, because cattle in house on concrete slats for long periods is not good for their health.
Does it depend again?
It would depend on their location though. Like, it's not all farmers could do it, like, you know, and, like, you know, in certain areas, and then certain farmers, depending on if they're dairy farmers now, would be more intensive, so they, it wouldn't be practical for them now. But sucklers now and are in or anyone in that category, it would be, yeah, they would be able to work the scheme. But people with, like, more dairy now, which I would class as intensive farming, it wouldn't be practical to have cows out there. They'd have to have cows in a shed, like.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't, that particular breed. You'd be surprised, and even in small areas, the way the difference in farms can change, like, you know, the information for their particular area. Because one area could have sort of dry and good land, like, you know, and then you might travel maybe, like, 20 miles, and the land is heavier but boggier, and great land during the summer but very wet during the winter, and also could be due to flooding as well, like, so. So in that case, they would not be able to fodder out because their land is too heavy, so they'd have to house cattle, and that could be only distance of 20 miles, like, you know. So that just shows how, you know, you do need, and it has to be individual. For
how about for the deforestation?
Not particularly, but in small scale it is a good thing in small scale. But I don't like it in large scale in some of the counties, such as Leitrim, the way it has happened. I would be very concerned over that, like, you know. And
yeah.
And big companies coming in and just, you know, covering huge chunks of good land in forestry. I wouldn't think it would be a good idea in fairness.
Yeah. You have the bog as well near you?
Yes, there is bog area, and the tradition of cutting turf has been there down through generations, and which is, like, I believe, if you're only cutting for your own area and supplying your own needs, I can't, don't really see, because the small amount of bogs you're cutting, I don't see any harm in doing that, rather than going down the line of we all buy an aisle, and like this aisle has to come into the country, it has to be transported down from the ports, then it has to go into tankers, then it has to be transported to your area, and I believe that's a lot more of a carbon footprint.
Well, do you find that that's posing a lot of challenges, and is changing the way you're farming?
Yeah, it is, like, because even last summer now, even, like, everyone, probably people more in town areas, were loving the dry weather, but it put a lot of hardship on farmers all over the country, not just in our area, and meadows were way back, which pushed on in that you were low in fodder, and you also, like, in our area now, land was very badly burnt, and so we lost out in livestock in their weight, and that hit us further on than we were selling again, and so that was a big issue. Yeah, the warmer summer was a big impact, and then you had the snow earlier on in the year, which made the winter drag on further, you had to give them out more fodder, so it just put more expense on both sides.
Yeah, so what are the main challenges in farming then now as well, on top of all the weather? And
I suppose it's gone very, there's a lot of paperwork now, and forms, and it's very hard to sell when you want to sell, like, you know, because between TB, and, you know, it's just, it's just, you just need to be constantly filling out forms,
yeah.
Really, to do angry, like, you know, in fairness, like, you know, and, you just kind of, it's kind of like you're not really in control of your own thing, that, you know, you kind of, you're constantly on this paperwork trail, like, you know.
And, you know, I suppose there's a lot of talk in the media about agriculture and climate change, and would you think yourself that agriculture plays a part, is an actor in climate change?
Oh yeah, of course it is, like, you know, but the only way that the farmer is going to improve his system of farming to help the environment is through initiatives and grants, like, because you can be talking about it, and you can be getting brochures in and fancy headings and go to courses, but unless there's incentives there for the farmer to have a less carbon footprint, I can't see much change happening in that sense, like, you know. But of course, yeah, the farmer has a huge impact on the climate, like everyone else, like,
yeah. And so where do you see, like, in the next 5 years now, would you see the weather changing, or do you see how farming is going to change?
Well, even since I was a child, I've seen huge difference in the weather, like, we don't seem to get any seasons anymore, and this spring has been everyone's praise, it's pretty mild. I would consider that a bad thing, because you had your seasons for a reason, and I've seen big changes in the climate, and even in my, you know, and that's only in a short time, really, like, when you consider lifespan of everything, like, you know, and I would have big concerns over the way the climate has changed, and something has changed, like, you know, and like I said, one time you'd have your four seasons, like, you know, and now it feels like, you know,
it was easier to plan.
It was, yeah, because you knew exactly what you were going to get. You knew in springtime what you were going to get. In general, like, you know, same goes to summer. In general, you might have some winter rain, and then you'd be heading into the autumn time of the year. You know, you had an idea, but certainly more than talk to the people planning any events. Look at the ploughing. You know, you can see it there for yourself. The way the weather has a huge impact. Whereas one time they could have these events, and there was never an issue.
And do you think that you're sufficiently prepared then for all these changes?
Short answer is no. No, be honest with you, because, like I said, like, you know, nothing is going to change unless there's incentives put there to change.
So what can be done? What would you like the policymakers to do?
Well, one, information, and grants incentives to improve. To improve your farming over the farm footprint, and basically probably more education and then from to go from that into education then into incentives, because there's no point educating someone and then letting them off and saying, okay, well, but if you said something like, well, we'll educate you and then there's a grant for improving your method, then there is, that's progress.
Yeah.
But there's no point educating. And
soil then, what's the quality like?
Quality would be, I'd say, average productive now, like, you know, it's in certain part of the land would need to be ploughed again and reseeded, like, you know. But it's just sometimes expense and time, and also the weather.
Yeah.
The weather is, it can let you down, and so it's not that easy sometimes just to go reseeding. And so, like, you know, it's, weather actually would be the biggest issue over to take land one side and to reseed it, and, you know, to give the rest, because sometimes the weather doesn't allow that to happen.
Yeah. And would you have to get your soil tested, or is that a requirement?
No, but it is a good thing, because it's, you know what you're doing, like, you know, rather than just putting out fertilizer, and sometimes you could be doing more damage than good, like, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because land changes, over the years, it loses a certain productive quality, and, like, you know, it's and just, you need, might need, be lacking, it's like an individual, it could be lacking certain nutrients. So a testing would be, yeah, I would agree with testing the land.
And I suppose the other side then of the project is the water. So with regard to, like, water quality and all of that type of thing, would you prefer to do to have programs in place that was just individually farming based, or would you prefer to do things collectively with other farmers? So if things were incentivized, would you prefer to have, like, an incentive that was, would you favour one that was just for your own farm, or would you prefer if all the other farms around you had a group scheme in place?
Well, that's a tricky one, because I would probably go individually, because it's very hard to get a group of people to, it's okay maybe in a very small area, but in a larger area, like I said, with different types of land, and people have different needs, and you know, so I would say individually now, you know, you'd have to look at it case by case basis, like, you know, but in fairness now, when the war looked at, and if you'd say, well, look at a certain area here, these certain group of farmers have all the same needs, well, then you could go down in a group system, like, you know.
Yeah. And like, would you favour compulsory measures over voluntary measures?
Oh, no. Compulsory has never worked in any shape or form. Voluntary is, you know, it's just, you know, anytime you bring compulsory into it, like, you know, it's always, it just puts people thinking the wrong way, like, you know, and it has people worrying and thinking that they're going to be fined, and it's going to be, it's never a good way to go. Like, if you talk to people in a voluntary way and say, look, if you do this and this and this, it'll be a benefit to you and also to the environment. You'd be surprised where people can go along with you, like.
Yeah, and you know, the way Ireland is really far behind now on its targets at the moment, and they're talking about penalising businesses. Like, you know, how would that impact farming?
Well, it is, because it hasn't been, the government kind of probably have not been bringing in schemes and incentives, so they have fell behind, and that's why they're going to be penalised now. And that's going to, of course, like, Europe is going to penalise them, and that's going to come hit back to farmers, because probably certain grants will be cut back on and probably done away with completely. So that is going to be a big impact, yeah, because that money has to come from somewhere, like, you know.
Yeah, and that would put a lot of pressure on farmers.
Well, of course, yeah, of course, yeah, because it'll mean certain grants will be probably not going ahead or cut back, or the money will be cut back, like, you know. So, yeah, that money that certain farmers were guaranteed or dependent on might not be there due to the government not keeping up to date on the whole, you know, the environment and these penalties now that Europe could land on us.
And what, would you have any solution to the problem?
I suppose, like, you know, if they had been doing initiatives all along, it's like in anything, if you do a small bit all along, it makes things easier. But if you don't do nothing and leave it and they push it off and push it off and push it off, well, it's going to end up like the way it has ended up, like, you know. So I suppose, you know, it's just the initiatives weren't done all along in a small way. So I suppose, like, you know, and now these fines, so... Yeah, it's, I don't know, like I said, just when they haven't been doing the initiatives all along, so, like, you know, it's really, the new is going to come at some stage, like, you know. So.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's everything covered. Anything else you want to add in?
No, I think that's fine. No, it's just, like I said, it's just over the carbon footprint, of course, but like I said, without initiatives and the information, and there's no point giving the information unless there's incentives there to carry out the policies. And because you can be doing all the courses you want and educating farmers or
so you need the resources.
Yeah, that's exactly it, because, like, they have their money left out for certain things, and they haven't left out there for carbon or improving the environment, so there has to be money put aside for that, and then the farmers would go ahead with certain grants and things that would improve their farmers, which would add on to improving the environment. I suppose it's like the initiative with the cars now, like, you know, we're heading towards electric cars, but there's a lot of issues there because there isn't the charging points. There isn't, if you haven't got your own driveway, you can't have, how are you going to charge the car? Like, you know, so they're like, you know, it's like everything else, like, you know, this big thing advertising over electric cars, but if you haven't got the services in place, you know, it's kind of a...
It's difficult to get into it.
It is, and it's like putting the cart in front of the horse, like, you know.
That's great. Well, thank you very much for your time.
No problem.
Lovely chatting to you.